What is... Dax, are you...
Tracking all our cars on Carvana Value Tracker? On all our devices? Yes, Kristen, yes I am.
Well, I've been looking for my phone for...
In Dax's domain, we see all. So we always know what our cars are worth.
All of them?
All of them. Value surge! Trucks up 3.9%!
That's a great offer.
I know. Sell?
Sell.
Track your car's value with Carvana Value Tracker today.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
The search for truth never ends. Introducing June's Journey, a hidden object mobile game with a captivating story. Connect with friends, explore the roaring 20s, and enjoy thrilling activities and challenges while supporting environmental causes. After 7 years, the adventure continues with our immersive travels feature. Explore distant cultures and engage in exciting experiences. There's always something new to discover. Are you ready? Download June's Journey now on Android or iOS.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT. On Philadelphia's Talk Radio 1210 WPHT, WPHT HD, WOGL HD3, Philadelphia. From the Piazza Premium Automobile Studios.
Powering your drive with 10 brands and 20 locations.
Always live on the free Odyssey app. It's Dom time. Now, Dom Giordano.
All right, it is Dom time on a big day leading to a bigger day on Monday. Welcome in. We have Riley Gaines coming up. It's not just the Congress passing that law in the House this week, stopping, simple thing, boys, men against girls, women in sports. There's now a resolution that they're working on to go after the NCAA, those all-time weasels. And you have a lot of leverage over them. If they would just come out and say it, it would really help. So she'll be here. And Asra Nomani, who was with us when those school districts in Virginia, those really affluent, educated, went wild with wokeism. Well, she's got a piece up at Fox News detailing the woke mobs coming to D.C. and what they plan to do. You'll want to hear that. She'll be here at 12:30. But I'll ask both of them about TikTok. And I will also ask Linda Kearns. I am more fired up on this issue. I'm not going to deflect on this. I'm looking at page 7 of what the Supreme Court wrote, and what they talk about is that this law does not regulate protected expressive activity or conduct with an expressive component. In other words, free speech. Stop already with that argument. If people like TikTok, they like TikTok. Why don't you just make that argument? But I'm not going to just pretend it's not happening here, that Trump seems to be enamored of this. And I get it. He did very well. Is this kind of like his student loan debt? Remember Biden riding to the rescue with the student loan debt? Let's give young people whatever they want. So it's clear, too. It's not going dark. It just has to be with an American company so they can't continue this. And there's 27 pages right there on YouTube, you can see. Has multiple data points about the amount of people, the amount of stealing, what the Chinese Communist Party is doing. So don't, you know, keep that in mind. We do have national security interest. And I'm tired of guys, idiots, really. I know he does some charitable work, but Dave Portnoy weighing in. I'm more concerned about the American government than I am the Chinese Communist Party. Hey, buddy, why don't you go and eat some... Chow Mein over there. Do Chow Mein interviews in Red China, like your pizza thing. What do you think is going to happen? More concerned with the U.S. government. It's fine to attack the deep state, and there is a deep state, and we're on it. It's fine to talk the weaponization of the FBI. But if you want TikTok, just say that. Don't wrap it up in that like Portnoy did. I'm more afraid of the American government. So I'll ask you that question. Are you more afraid of the American government than the Communist Chinese Party? Well, they didn't do anything to me. Right. They would murder every one of us in a second, and they tried during COVID. So let's have sober argument about this. 855-839-1210. President Trump is the one that issued the first executive order on this, and he was right. And it used to be supporters said how toxic this was also toward young people particularly. But it is popular, without a doubt. Now, will something else take its place? Can it be as popular? I'm not sure. The algorithm, I'm not sure how effective it will be. I'm a little unclear. I don't know if anybody knows the iteration with an American company. But nobody's saying we're banning free speech. It's just we're trying to take the Communist Chinese Party out of this. Why are we seeing these spats? It reminds me of the HB1 visa thing. In fact, here on Morning Joe, this is Cut 12, Dan, Catty Kay from Great Britain with the accent and everything else is one of the most fraudulent elitist types. Tisking. And saying there's no evidence that China's doing anything. Cut 12.
Yeah, and at the moment there isn't any evidence. I mean, there hasn't been any evidence up to date that the Chinese state has decided to use TikTok to
what?
Attack America or divide America. But what's one of America's weaknesses? One of America's weaknesses is that everybody is siloed. We're in rage bubbles. We don't like each other in the country. And if you can't
You're
beat
from Great
America,
Britain. You're not even from here. Come on.
Militarily, or you can't beat it economically, communication mediums are an incredibly powerful tool. Ask any regime throughout history, right? If you control communication, you can do an awful lot of damage to your adversaries. What's to say that it's not just the data they're accumulating, but it becomes a two-way street, and that's used to increase those divisions and weaknesses that already exist in American society. I would feel if you're going to cite national security as a reason to put tariffs on Canada and Mexico, but you don't think there's a national security concern with giving access to China to have one of the most powerful communication tools in American media, that seems a little bit of a disconnect.
Well, she came around to my view in the end. In the beginning, though, there's no evidence. The evidence is who they are, what they're about. They want to subjugate the world. That's what they're about by one step after another. And I think we have to fight them, whether it's the NBA and basketball and the nonsense that happened there, whether it's on college campuses with their Confucian centers, with them stealing every other thing they can get, poisoning us with COVID. Every single level, they are the enemy extraordinaire. Yeah, and this is another example. It is a national security threat. In addition to the point you kind of made at the end and what they do kids, the Trump swearing in, moving indoors. I never liked that. I really don't. You know, I think you got to put giant heaters out there or something. There's something about the swearing in ceremony and the whole thing that's magical, but it's moving indoors now, according to the temperature thing. Not on board with that, you know. I don't know then how much of it is outside the Trump speech, et cetera, but that just came down. I would advise if you're going to the inauguration, realize it's a very difficult thing to get close, and it is frigid. This might be one of the colder ones. The one that I went to, the first Obama, was, oh, my God. Yeah, it is. So I get it, but moving it inside takes away the majesty of it, really. Oh. I'd rather you do the speech inside or side. The swearing in is the constitutional part of it.
So are they not going to have anything that's out there on?
Well, just a swearing in for now, okay. As far as we know. Now, I don't know why they think putting the swearing in inside, how long that takes, et cetera, why that curtails it. Seems like it's going to be shortened. Is Carrie Underwood not going to wear a pretty nice outfit then? Is she going to have to be in a parka singing there?
That's a good question, too.
Yeah. All right. So it's at 855-839-1210. Wanted to play one other thing. When it comes to the deep state and worries about that, I'm there. And this idea, this is the deep state. Why can't we have what we like? It's freedom of speech with TikTok. Here is the new Treasury Secretary. I think he will be Bessent. And he yesterday, this is only 6 seconds, made a point that I've been talking about. And that is the so-called digital dollar. Now, that's just another element that we don't need. We already have enough people not believing in cash. Knock yourself out. Oh, the digital dollar, why would we do this? Why would we have more government possible tracing, more government involvement in our life. Here's what he said yesterday in testimony.
On CBDCs, I see no reason for the U.S. to have a central bank digital currency.
All right. So no central bank digital currency. We dodge a bullet for 4 years or so. Let's see who comes up with anything else around that. All right. So we got Riley Gaines coming by at 12:15 with a lot to report on. Love to get you in on the TikTok moment. Biden pardoning a great number of people. I'm trying to get on this attorney who, and I think I have the Pam Bondi cut here. Pam Bondi, yeah, here it is. Here's what Pam Bondi, this will be cut 11, Dan. And I think Bondi was making a good point both to get past the nomination confirmation process and also of what I think Trump is going to do about the pardons or commutations of January 6th defendants. Listen to what Pam Bondi said.
Let me ask a third question. Do you believe that the January 6th rioters who've been convicted of violent assaults on police officers should be pardoned?
Senator, if confirmed as Attorney General of the United States, the pardons, of course, fall under the president. But if asked to look at those cases, I will look at each case and advise on a case-by-case basis, just as I did my entire career as a prosecutor.
You also advise the president on pardons as part of your responsibility as Attorney General. And so I'm asking you, do you believe that those who've been convicted of the January 6th riot, violent assaults on our police officers, should be pardoned? That's a simple question.
So, Senator, I have not seen any of those files, of course. If confirmed, and if asked to advise the president, I will look at each and every file. But let me be very clear in speaking to you. I condemn any violence on a law enforcement officer in this country.
All right. So taking the point now, we're trying to get on the attorney who represented some of these people. And he made some good points that the sentences are excessive here. And I think that's true, even in the case of some that were involved in some issues. But I think Bondi is signaling what Trump is thinking, too. If you were attacking a cop here, you're not going to get anything here. All right. At least this initial go round. And I think that's what the standard ought to be. All right. Let me give you the side question. We'll get Dan and Henry's because Riley Gaines is in the on deck circle. Bob Uecker, who was apparently an unbelievable guy and talent, but a non-actor. What, Major League, any number of things.
On into the windup in his first offering. Just a bit outside. He
tried. Yeah. We're looking for a non-actor who was very good.
Notable. Yeah, not somebody. Just notable in general. Yeah, notable. Very, very bad, too.
Yes, that's right. Very bad. Now, one, I'm going to go back in time. I'll explain a little bit, though. This guy actually won two Academy Awards for it. Harold Roselli, Dan. It's an old film. Best Years of Our Lives. But Lou Gall used to say it's in the top 10. I think it is. People coming back from World War II, the good war. And he had lost his limbs, his arms. He had to use hooks.
Oh, that's a great answer.
He won both the Best Supporting Actor, I think, and he won Outstanding because of how emotional this was.
Wow.
He never acted. He was just playing a guy with the hooks dealing with this. I never knew that. I thought he was an actor. I didn't know how they did the hooks back then or whatever. But,
wow.
Yeah. Of course, you guys told me you did, Dan. Bill Burr, that's him in Breaking Bad with Yul, particularly the scene where Ted decides to lam it and gets pulled down on the rug and pretty much dies there. That's him. He was great. I think it was in there three times that I remember. All right. Working for Better Call Saul. All right, we'll get Dan and Henry's. All right, it could be bad.
Let me just get real fast because I got to get rolling here in a second.
Yeah,
but
sure.
Silvio Dante, Dom of The Sopranos. Who could forget the great?
That's a great one.
Yeah.
Yes.
Gabagool over here.
Yeah.
And he wasn't an actor at the time, but he hopped on Stephen Van Zandt. Not a fan of his, not a fan of Bruce Springsteen or the E Street Band, but later went on to do another series in the realm of, you know, mafioso, and he's turned into a pretty solid actor. But Silvio Dante played by Stephen Van Zandt.
I would say he morphed into a believable actor to me. Paulie. And I saw Paulie at a Frankie Valli concert, and he looked threatening beyond belief, and it was mob with people
because
there.
Because he was a mob guy.
Yeah, was
Paulie
he?
Paulie Walnuts, before he was an actor, he...
Right.
He was a mob guy. So
then there is, regrettably, Big P, who couldn't face my interview, even though I wasn't doing anything. Big P, what do you think about TikTok? All right.
I wonder they killed him off.
We'll get Henry's coming up. You got the plot? He could be a bad one, too. There's a lot out there. Hit us with that in honor of Bob Uecker. The great Riley Gaines next. Talk Radio 1210.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
So it's a new year, 2025, and you're thinking, how am I going to make this year different? How am I going to build something for myself? But where do I start? Shopify is how you're going to make it happen, and here's how. Shopify makes it simple to create your brand, open for business, and get your first sale. The best time to start your new business is right now. Get your store up and running easily with thousands of customizable templates, no coding or design skills required. All you need to do is drag and drop. Their powerful social media tools let you connect all your channels and create shoppable posts and help you sell everywhere people scroll. What happens if you don't act now? Will you regret it? What if someone beats you to the idea? Don't kick yourself when you hear this again in a year because you didn't do anything now. With Shopify, your first sale is closer than you think. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to start selling with Shopify today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Imagine uncovering the secrets that others missed. A hidden clue, a silent witness, a twist that changes everything. I'm Carter Roy, host of Murder True Crime Stories, a Crime House original podcast. Join me every Tuesday as we dive into a famous solved or unsolved murder case. Follow and listen to Murder True Crime Stories, an Odyssey podcast in partnership with Crime House Studios. Available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
All right, Dom Giordano's show. It's always a big day when Riley Gaines stops by here on Talk Radio 1210. Let's go to Riley on a great day, a day that we look forward to Monday. Riley, welcome back to Philadelphia. Thank you for joining us.
You guys are the best. I am thrilled to be on with you.
Well, thank you, Riley. Particularly, you know, you've maintained your just down-to-earth persona with us, despite the fact that you're in demand all over the place. So, Riley, a big week. One, other than some local people here, that we need you to come and hold a little forum, maybe debating the three of them, these three women in the suburbs. We had the big vote in the House. The Senate looks good on the trans in sports. And we also have this resolution trying to start with the NCAA to move them on it.
There is a lot of good things going on right now. Gosh, I feel so hopeful for a couple reasons today specifically. The Lake and Riley Act just narrowly passed the Senate, so it is set to be on President Trump's desk. And I'm looking at the news this morning, watching this unfold, watching the votes go down, and I'm thinking to myself, like, is this really bare minimum? Like, I'm over the moon that our 119th Congress actually has done something. Like, I'm over the moon about it. So it's lots of good things going on. Of course, we're seeing some wins there, of course, with President Trump taking office next week. On the issue you mentioned in particular, the Protection of Women and Girls in Sports Act, it passed in the U.S. House, and they can say with bipartisan support. What that means is two Texas Democrats who definitely did not want to lose their seat. voted in support of protecting women and girls in sports. Every other Democrat voted in opposition. But nonetheless, it is a step up from last year. We are celebrating the improvements onto the Senate. And man, I'm hopeful. And even if it doesn't have the 60 votes to get through the Senate, again, last year, Schiff wouldn't even take it up for a vote in the Senate. So it's a win. We're celebrating the win. It's certainly an advancement. And I'm hopeful that President Trump will take executive action on day one, as he's campaigned on, to uphold Title IX in its original intent. So all that to say, lots of wins across the board. And it should excite all Americans, not just people who voted for Trump, not just Republicans. It should excite every single person who wants to feel safe, who wants lower crime, who wants world peace, who wants free speech, who wants affordable living. What we are seeing right now, it should excite everyone who wants those things.
Without a doubt. Now, Riley, I noticed, too, on your Twitter, we have this new congressperson. I believe it's a he, but McBride from Delaware. And there were public readings with young kids about books that might be titled grooming with, like, kindergarten kids this week. What do you think about that?
I can't even really. I saw this video and I thought to myself, it had to be. There's no way this is real, right? Because this was a kindergarten class in Virginia. Kids as young as 4, 5, 6 years old. And if you listen to the clip of Sarah McBride, who is, of course, formerly Tim McBride, who it's been pretty awesome. I don't know if you follow Congresswoman Mace on X. She has been all over him, which has been great. It's because I think the American people have been desperate for that type of relentlessness, especially when it comes to objective truth and biological reality. But watching this clip, you see Congressman McBride tell these kids verbatim, it is good to be transgender. That is, to me, in my honest opinion, that is criminal behavior. That is child abuse. It is psychological child abuse. What is happening to these kids? I have so many questions. Number one, the school that allowed this. Number two, the parents. Oh my gosh, did the parents know that their kids were going to be read this book by a man wearing a dress, telling them that it's good to be transgender? And if the parents did know and they still sent their kids to school, are we sure that these parents are fit to be parents? I mean, I think there's a separate conversation to be had there. I mean, it's the definition of grooming. If you were to look it up in the Webster dictionary, which those dictionaries have become so woke, they don't even, maybe it's not the definition in the Webster dictionary, but at one point, if you were to look up grooming in the dictionary, that is exactly what you would see.
Now, Riley, as we smack dab in the middle of 2025, you have morphed, in my view, from not just this issue, of course, this is a core issue, the things we just talked about, but basically toward women, women's rights. And even beyond that, tell us what you're looking to be involved in 2025.
Well, gosh, there is a lot going on. I'll tell you one thing that has affected me personally, that has become really at the forefront, is what is going on, not necessarily in terms of illegal immigration, but what our government has done to legal immigration. I don't know if I've shared this with you on your program, but I'm married to a legal immigrant. He's a wonderful man who desperately wishes he could have voted for Donald Trump in the most recent election. Hardworking, of course, he pays his taxes. He loves America and what we have to offer. And he comes from England, where, let me tell you, he also loves the Second Amendment now. He's like, I missed out on this my whole life. This is why you guys won the American Revolution. And I remind him every July 4th, which is the superior country, but I digress. Anyways, all that to say, we've been married almost 3 years, and even still, our government, USCIS, Immigration Services, will not give him his green card because he refuses to get the COVID vaccine. I can't even tell you how much money this has cost us in terms of immigration fees and immigration lawyers and all the things and medical records and all the junk, how much money, the time, the investment, the different protocols and procedures you have to go through. So legal immigration is a mess. And so we're hoping to seek some reform there. And there have been some chats with Elon Musk about what this looks like, how Doge can help, how what we can do to really clean up our immigration system as a whole.
Give me your sense of Elon Musk. Now, we've had few people on who have actually chatted with him, as you just casually said, Riley. So you've gone from Leah Thomas to Elon Musk. That's a big jump.
Isn't it wild?
What is it like talking to Elon Musk?
Well, I'll tell you, the thing that I appreciate about Elon Musk, number one, I think he says what he thinks openly, right? Mm-hmm. It's about accountability. It's about transparency. And compare that to Gates or to BlackRock or to Soros or to Zuckerberg, who I do not trust in the slightest, by the way. They do all their stuff behind the scenes, which, of course, it's hard to hold them accountable when they hide what they do. So if you're looking at it in that perspective, I know which person I'm going to trust, and that's Elon Musk. He's definitely a character. He's a unique guy. There's no doubt about that. But what he has done I believe he saved free speech in regards to the purchase of X. I hope he purchases TikTok. I'll tell you that. I know there's some talks about what that looks like behind, you know, him and Mr. Wonderful Kevin O'Leary. Hopefully some good people can get behind that and be able to purchase this to do even more for free speech. But even how he helped the Hurricane Helene victims, what he's done in the California fire, sitting out cyber trucks with Starlink. I mean, he deeply cares about humanity. And that's a rare trait, especially among billionaires. So I think he's wonderful. I definitely trust him, right? He's very smart. He's intelligent. I don't know if you saw the most recent rocket ship
yes.
landing
oh, yeah.
That we just saw. I mean, he's raising the bar across the board, and it results in a net win for America. So I appreciate him a whole lot.
Well, Riley, we certainly appreciate you. You're going to be in Philadelphia anytime, do you see, and coming up?
Absolutely. There's lots of legislative work to be done. While I definitely care about what's going on at the federal level, I think more so my passion is what's happening at the state level, local levels even, because truthfully, it matters more. We saw how the election turned out, of course, on November 5th and how people turned out for Donald Trump. I wish we could get people to turn out in droves for school board members, for local councilmen, for city commissioner, for auditor even. All of these local positions matter so, so much in your community. So there's so much work to be done. Very, very excited to return to Philadelphia, to the state of Pennsylvania, to make sure leaders are held accountable, right?
Mm-hmm.
So often we shift our perspective to what's happening in Washington, D.C. We should be looking at our own backyards.
Exactly. Riley, where's the best place to go to see all the things that are in motion with you?
You can follow me along on X at Riley_Gaines_. You can check out my podcast, Gaines for Girls Without Kick. I'm the director of the Riley Gaines Center. We've got great stuff going on over there. You can check that out at RileyGainesCenter.com. And hopefully you'll be able to hear me on this program again soon. I love coming on with you guys.
Anytime you make a date, Dan, just square that up and we're all set. Riley, congratulations on everything. Thank you. Thanks for coming on today.
Thank you.
All right. Riley Gaines here on Talk Radio 1210, 855-839-1210. That's how you get on board. All right. So we got the big TikTok decision. I'm not sure if Dan gave us one or not. Henry, how about you? An actor, I have a couple more here, but I don't want to steal them. An actor, not an actor, who played in a film, TV show, etc. There's a big one out there, but how about yours?
Yeah, so I'll take a good one and a bad one off the board. I'll start with the good first.
Yeah.
I will do a character from playing himself in one of the top two comedy movies this century, The Other Guys,
mm-hmm.
Shortstop, Derek Jeter. If you know that movie, you know that Mark Wahlberg's character accidentally shoots Derek Jeter in what later ends up being a huge plot to keep Jeter and Mark Wahlberg's character at bay so they don't unravel a giant conspiracy. I think Jeter is hilarious in that movie, as is everyone else. And it's
That's surprising to me. I haven't seen it. Derek Jeter doesn't seem like a comedic, yeah?
Dom, you got to watch The Other Guys. That is, that and Superbad are the top two comedy movies this century. Those are by far and away the best. And then the bad one I'll do is, it was so bad it got cut from the show. It was George Steinbrenner playing himself in Seinfeld. As we all know, Larry David played the Steinbrenner character in all the scenes with George throughout the years. But one time they decided, you know what, it'd probably be pretty funny if we had George Steinbrenner actually play himself. And he came in and was absolutely excruciatingly bad that Larry David and Jerry were like, we can't use this.
Any sounds of that out there anywhere?
Oh, let me look it up.
I'm pretty sure the real Steinbrenner, because they captured the image of just craziness and going back and forth on anything that distracts him. That struck me as Steinbrenner more than anything.
Oh, yeah, totally.
Yeah.
Here it is. Hold on.
All right. Steinbrenner's being difficult.
Elaine, what are you doing here?
Okay, I wanted to talk to you about something, and I wanted to tell you in person.
What?
I'm not going to the wedding.
Why not?
Because Jerry is bringing a date. I am not an usher. I don't have anyone to talk to, and I'm not sitting at the singles table all by myself.
Wait a minute, young lady. What's this about singles tables? I don't sit at singles tables. Singles tables are for losers. The Yankees have won 33 pennants and
24
championships. We're winners. We don't sit with losers.
Well,
and I've got an idea. You're going to go to the party with me.
You think it's kind of flat. Is that it?
Yeah, you know, because... If he were playing into Larry David's version of himself, I think it'd be better. But the fact that he's just kind of himself, I think that's why it falls flat. Yeah.
I could see him saying that, yes. All right, 855-839-1210. We're going to talk with Azra Nomani, our friend from Virginia. We talked with her when the school districts went woke, went crazy there. She's got a big piece up at Fox about the woke mobs headed already there, maybe, to D.C. What do they have in mind for Inauguration Day? Phone lines to get in, 855-839-1210, AT&T, and Verizon Wireless. All that you have to do is just push pound 1210. So hit us with one of those non-actors who stole the show. OJ, of course, is somebody who wasn't an actor, and he proved that, but it was good in the Hertz commercials, but some of the other stuff, it was Airplane, there was something with scuba diving.
The Naked Gun.
Naked Gun, yeah. Kareem did that, too. So there's a million of them. Hit us with your favorite. Make the case. Get your name into the hat. All in the honor of Bob Uecker here on Talk Radio 1210. All right, it is Dom time. This just breaking. CNN has been found guilty in the defamation case involving that Navy officer. I'm calculating right now what the damages will be. You may remember Stephanopoulos found guilty with President Trump. Has this opened the floodgates? This is a guy that was wronged by CNN when CNN's chief national security correspondent claimed that bad actors were reportedly running a black market, charging exorbitant fees to Afghans attempting to flee their country after the Taliban took over. This guy was one that they apparently put into that mode. I'll give you more details on that. But one of our all-time favorites, Azra Nomani, is back with us. Azra used to be with us because she and other patriots in Virginia were pushing back in some of the best schools that have now been deranked, so to speak, because of the wokeism. More than that, because of the discrimination, many times against, I would say, Asian American students, removing merit, that kind of thing. But she's got a big piece up that I'm looking at. This, the woke army plotting to crash Trump's inauguration, a network of organizations and the woke army of socialists and Islamists plan to come to the inauguration and do damage. You can find it at Fox News. Let's go to Azra Nomani here on Talk Radio 1210. Azra, welcome back. Thank you for joining us.
Thank you so much. It's so great to be back with you. And as always, it's about the fight for truth.
Yes, absolutely. And you have been one of the most consistent voices on that at very high levels. Why is this area an area of interest for you? Is this the things that you've looked at before?
Yeah, you know, it's literally as old as my son is that I have been investigating the convergence of the very extremist interest in our Muslim community that we call the Islamists, who believe in political Islam and you know, the use of Islamic law, for example, in governance, with their marriage with the far left. And this is really troubling in the United States, as we've now seen over this past year, where these campus protests and basic, hijacking of our streets with anti-Jewish, anti-Israel protests. And so I've been following it for 22 years because my, sense of duty was really ignited after the 9/11 attacks. And then I went to Pakistan for the reporting that we did as journalists. And there, my great friend and colleague from the Wall Street Journal, Danny Pearl, was kidnapped. Yeah, that's where Danny was kidnapped. And that's when I saw firsthand the cost that comes if we are not vigilant in understanding who the threat is in trying to destroy our nations and innocent people like Danny.
Let me go back, though, Azra. I was all set to go through here because it is incredibly detailed what you've uncovered coming to Washington, and you link it to stuff that we've seen before. But Islamist and the left. Now, I understand it from the left side. We've seen them. The slightest hint that we might see radical Islam involved in something, and they jump to defense. Why would the Islamist ally with people who, if they took over, I think these would be the first people they might go after?
Because the Islamists believe they will win.
Okay.
And so it's a marriage of convenience, and they exploit the power and the people that the socialists and self-declared Marxists have in the West. You know, they have a network of people, right? So it puts the Islamist power on the streets on steroids. And they create this, I call it the myth of the marching millions. And so you create one viral video storming the gates of the White House. And it seems like you've got millions of people when in fact it's, you know, tens of thousands, but they create a threat and they are have an objective to destabilize our country. And so why do I care is because my family is a Muslim family from India. I immigrated here when I was 4 years old to New Jersey and went through Philadelphia, went by there, saw the sights as a young girl. And this country gave my family more freedoms than we would know in any Muslim country. And so I do not want to see the sectarianism that has destroyed other nations in America. And that's what they're importing here. That's foreign malign interests like China, Russia, Iran that are stoking these organizations. And what I know is that as a journalist is that we have to expose all of this with truthfulness and transparency. And it connects to the story you just talked about regarding CNN because as we've seen, the legacy media has failed in really just reporting the news as it is and not creating narratives, that fulfill their kind of imagination. And that's what happened with this story that CNN just lost on in the defamation lawsuit. And in our street protests, they never report out the names that I've chronicled in this latest Fox News article.
I don't know how one person, I thought you had an organization here. I really love detail and it is incredibly detailed, the map of what they're going to do. So what are we, in 2016, we saw some of it. It seemed to be limited to the downtown, throwing bricks through windows, stores and all, which is bad enough. It spoils kind of the day. But what do you think they're planning on doing with the Trump inauguration this time?
Yeah, and what's beautiful is that they give us the blueprint always, and all you have to do is ask. So I've been covering Washington, D.C. politics, if you can believe it, since I was 18 years old. So it's been 40 years through so many administrations. And I know those streets, and I know I've covered so many protests and rallies. So I know the traffic pattern, right? You could hire me out.
I know you're close by and we're friends because we were just back from Washington. My wife, the Bible thing. And we had someone that's lived there in the suburbs all their life. And yet still, why does this street run this way? Why is it dead end?
Oh,
it makes no sense.
Yeah, but there is sense to it once you know it. Like I've walked it.
Yeah.
And so 2016, Women's March created the, quote, resistance. And now if anybody's missed it, they've rebranded as the People's March because nobody cares about women anymore, apparently. So now what has happened is there's a parallel network that has put forward these street protests and campus protests, and it's run by organizations with really innocuous names like the Answer Coalition and you know, Code Pink, which anybody who knows them knows that they're far left activists, but they sound innocuous enough. And so they put out, so Answer Coalition filed a petition of application with the Park Service for a protest on January 20th. And the irony of this that I write about in this Fox News column is that they are the ones that had the application in this past summer to protest Benjamin Netanyahu speaking in Congress. And if people remember the videos that came out that day, they were of a young man who climbed a statue and wrote, "Hamas is coming." They brought down the U.S. flag and burnt it to a crisp. I saw it myself, the ashes. And they tackled Park Police.
Mm-hmm.
In minutes, their permit was revoked on that day. But the irony is that our free First Amendment and our free speech rights make it so that the courts have not allowed past behavior, if you can believe this, to impugn, you know, the organization's reputation when it comes to a new application. So sure enough, on Monday, the Answer Coalition has got plans for the parallel protest. Exactly. And they're going to be going down. I got the map. I'm going to post it soon. You know, they've got Constitution Avenue, the north side and the south side sidewalks. They've got the Lincoln Memorial. Can you believe this? I mean, the inauguration is going to be barricaded, but nonetheless, they're going to be really close at the Washington Monument. And, you know, the past is prologue, so they will try to replicate what they have done in the past with damage to memorials and tussles with the police, because they want those viral videos, right?
Yeah.
And why I wrote this article days ahead is because I want everybody's eyes wide open, you know, because the reporters are going to report out thousands of protesters.
Got your point. Right. Yes.
Yeah. Erupt in demonstration against Trump because they want to have this narrative that the electoral vote did not reflect the public opinion.
Yeah. You know
street.
What? You know what kills them? Trump winning every swing state, but the popular vote won by Trump. I don't know about you, Azar. I never thought that would happen in a million years. They can't let that stand, that he won the popular vote.
Yeah, I knew it was happening, honestly, because I've been reporting this past year from Ohio to Indiana in the back roads, you know, on a bunch of different stories, and saw so many Trump signs everywhere, you know, in swing counties, even if the state normally went Republican. Mm-hmm. And you know, it's, and I, if you remember, I grew up in Morgantown, West Virginia, and my family's still there, and you will see the Trump signs, you know, from the trailer park to mm-hmm. the million-dollar mansion. Yes, we have them in West Virginia. And so it's clear that, you know, that, as you know, that he struck a nerve with America. But unfortunately, the media loves the anti-Trump story, and they will get it on Monday. And I just want people to know these organizations. When you go to the column, I've got a link literally to the Google spreadsheet where I've got the names of every organization. I've categorized them by whether they're self-described socialists, of which there's 25 organizations, whether they're Muslim, Arab, Palestinian, of which there's about 10 organizations, and the rest are what I call socialist adjacent. So we know, you know, it's not the YMCA, right? It's not the Girl Scouts, you know.
It's people
with socialist and Islamist
agendas. It is a masterwork bringing it all together. Azra, thank you, and please keep us in the loop. Go ahead.
Yeah, and I just want you guys to know, I just looked it up, and you know, they've got 1400 JFK Boulevard for Philadelphia, January 20th at 2 p.m. So when you see the videos coming out of Philadelphia, you're going to know who's behind these protests. It's a national effort that they've got in cities across the country. Their website is WeFightBack2025.org, and I'm, you know, sharing it with you all in the spirit of transparency so that when you see those crazy videos, you'll know where it's coming from.
Azra, thank you. Have a great weekend.
God, thank you.
Thank you. Please come back again
soon.
Thanks, Azra.
Okay. Bye-bye.
All right, Azra Nahmani, just a great voice, too, a great diction. All right, so as a little backdrop, what you're going to see, and she's right, what the media will claim. The big story, though, defamation case, CNN loses. I'm trying to calculate. It's at least $5 million here with defaming this Officer Young in the Navy in several instances. Here we go again. Yeah, the Stephanopoulos, ABC, deep pockets and all that, but you keep on getting hit with this stuff. It hurts. And it seems like we're seeing more, going to see more and more of it. All right, phone lines are 855-839-1210. Independence Hall is sacred. Independence Hall, I'm looking at a report just came down, has been graffitied overnight, making head or tail out of it. Erotica was one of the words. The Park Police, I know you can't prevent everything. There's an odd statue here and there. There's a vast part of history downtown. But you mean to say you can't protect Independence Hall? That ought to be job one, don't you think? No. You're not going to be doing this with Independence Hall, the crown jewel. All right, phone lines. Get in with Dom now.
So one of the audio things developing out of this, I guess we'll hear it after the break, is CNN's lawyer.
Right.
It's gone viral. One of the arguments that he made is that the network being hit with this $5 million in punitive damages will harm the company financially and hinder its ability to report on major breaking news events like wildfires and crises around the world.
All right, we'll play that coming up. Poor CNN. And now Jim Acosta, in a makeup with Trump, might be exiled to the Midnight Show. That's what CNN's reporting today. All right, 855. I kind of like Acosta in the White House when he was there with the Trump thing, particularly when they took the mic off him one time. Oh, my God. 855-839-1210. All right, Dom time. 855-839-1210. I'm coming to you. We'll get a couple people in here. Give us a non-actor who really wowed him or was really bad in a film or TV show. Dan, do you have that sound? Here's CNN, the defamation, their attorney, the argument. By the way, the attorney was David Axelrod, not the David Axelrod. Another David Axelrod.
There's another one?
Was the CNN attorney, yes.
You heard General Young, plaintiff's expert, testify, and he kind of made this offhand comment. I thought it was very interesting. He said he was watching the coverage of the wildfires in Los Angeles, which are really heartbreaking. And he said that CNN's coverage was outstanding. And he wasn't wrong. Because when natural disasters break out, CNN is there. And that's hurricanes, that's wildfires, that's earthquakes. When conflicts erupt, like some of the ones we've heard in this case, CNN's there. And providing all of that content, that really important content's expensive. But it has a really tremendous value. Because we as Americans need to understand what our fellow Americans are going through, if they're in California, or if they're on the Gulf Coast and get hit by a hurricane, or if there's an earthquake in Northern California, or if there's a war in Ukraine. All those things are really valuable. So you've made a decision that CNN's liable, but that doesn't mean that there isn't, you know, a reasonable path forward. So over the next few hours, and I hope it doesn't take that long, you're going to hear about CNN's net worth. And you're going to see that the net worth of the company is actually in a subtle decline. You're also going to hear about the headwinds
subtle decline facing
the entire media.
What a master of understatement. All right, I'm going to make a... Now, anytime you see these defamation cases, it brings me back, I hate to say it, Sullivan versus the New York Times, where... Did they defame him or not? That was the moot court competition at Rutgers Night School that I won. And I'll never forget how hard it is to prove defamation. You know, and to do it in this public sense. Same thing for Trump, a public figure like that, to prove defamation. It's shocking. So another media giant, $5 million here, at least it appears to be. It was $15 million in the case with... Stephanopoulos and Trump. So are we
for the better good though, Don? They need the money to report on these wildfires.
I'm just saying that
they should be able to defame people just so they can continue their great reporting.
It takes a lot to prove defamation. You really, it has to be blatant. They got the best attorneys, arguably, et cetera, et cetera. So
Shocking stuff. All right, we continue at 855-839-1210. Hit us with somebody who played in a role that's a non-actor but was good or really bad. Let's go to Dwayne. Hey, Dwayne, welcome in. What's yours?
Hi, Dom. The side question, what popped into my head was my mom and I just watched for the second time 1883. And I was born in Fort Worth, and that's what they call Hell's Half Acre in the beginning. Well, anyway, I just thought Tim McGraw on Faith Hill did a nice job with the Sutton matriarch and patriarch of Yellowstone.
All right, good one. I have not seen that, so I'll try to think about judging it. Mark in Conshohocken. Mark, who's yours?
Ooh. Hey, Don. Andre the Giant.
When?
In what? Yeah, what?
Princess Bride, 1987.
Fezzik.
Okay. And why that? What did you like about that, Mark?
Well, he never seems like an actor, so for him to do that, that's kind of remarkable.
Well, a number of these wrestlers, let's face it, The Rock's the best example. They are actors of a sense, but right, not professional actors. And then when they go and do a role, Cena's another one, they're pretty good.
Well, was Fezzik a good performance, though? I mean, Andre the Giant just played kind of a big oaf to a degree. Yeah. It's not a really hard part to play. He's not doing much dramatic acting.
Didn't he, Dan?
He did play a pretty good big oaf, yes.
Yeah,
he did.
Well, the biggest oaf. Okay. Thank you, Mark. All right, that's what we're looking for. Bob Uecker, passing away, I believe, at the age of 90. Apparently, just an unbelievable guy. Big 1 o'clock hour. A lot of this stuff to break down. Linda Kearns will be here at 2 o'clock. Guess what? They're going back to the Supreme Court, the other side, on mail-in ballots. Again, there's another. And again, I know you can say, some people get depressed. You shouldn't think that way. It gives us another opportunity to beat them back down again. That's what it's about. And Monday, the biggest celebration of the year. And you'll be there with me right at noon. It doesn't matter if Trump's indoor, outdoor, whether he's taking the oath or not. At noon. At noon, exactly, not 1 second before or after, that's when he's president. What will Joe Biden be thinking at that moment? Well, 855-839-1210.
Dom Giordano on Talk Radio 1210.